With me, I'm going to begin once again in Matthew chapter 6. You ought to have a crease there by now. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Okay. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you will, drop on down to verse 19. It says, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? For no man, or no one, the New King James says, no one can serve two masters. Verse 30 says, Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He said, don't say those things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. The Amplified in verse 33 says, But seek, aim, and strive after. First of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Now, last Sunday, we begin to talk about growing up. We talk about growing up. In fact, we left off in Galatians chapter 4. If you just turn over there with me quickly, and let's look at this right quick as we get ready to receive today what the Lord wants to share with us. Galatians chapter 4. Now, when we talk about growing up, we're talking about growing up spiritually. Because we've got, you know, you've got people that's been in the church for years and years and years that are not grown up. You got 40-year-old Christians that are still acting childish, that are still acting like babes. Anytime we revert back to operating by the flesh, through the flesh, through the senses. Listen, God has given us a mandate that we are to be conformed into His image. The book of Ephesians says that we're not to be tossed, you know, to and fro by every wind of doctrine. James said it another way. He said, those that are tossed to and fro, they're double-minded. And he said, let not that person think they'll receive anything from God. So understand, when we're talking about growing up, we're talking about growing up spiritually. When you grow up spiritually, it means that you no longer are being led by your emotions and by your feeling and by your senses. Are you listening to me? And so in Galatians chapter 4, it begins like this. It says, well, let me read 29, just right above chapter 4. It says, if you are Christ, do I have anybody here that's in Christ? Amen. Okay. It says, if you are Christ, and I notice that's plural, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Make sure you circle the word heir, and we're going to focus just a little bit again on the word heir, because the Bible says that we are heirs of God and what? Joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is our Father. Amen. Jesus is our brother, our elder brother, if you will. He's also the Son of God, but we are sons of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave or from a servant, though he is master or he's Lord of all." Now we'll talk about that again, but look what verse 2 says. "But he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so," now look at this, "even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." In other words, what he's saying again in verse 1, he said, as long as I remain or I act childish, he said, I do not differ from a slave or a servant, even though I'm Lord or I'm master over everything. That's what God has given to me as an inherited right. I have the capacity, I have the ability, but as long as I remain childish, I'm not going to enter into my inheritance, which God has given to me as my right as His son or as His daughter. If you follow me, say amen. Now, let me just give you a few things here today, because what we have seen through the changes of just Christianity in general, the tradition that church sometimes gets into, and you know, denominational teachings and so on and so forth. And I'm not here to, you know, to put any of that, you know, put anybody down. But I'm telling you, there are, and we do have in this present time, for the most part, a defective view of what Christianity is really all about. Because there has been such I remember when I first got turned on to God, I mean really saved, I mean, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was radical about the Lord, and I was still in business, I was still in the secular world, and, you know, it was almost like taboo if you talk to somebody about Jesus. It's like, shh, you know, religion is a private matter. We don't talk about those things. Anybody ever heard those kind of comments? You know, you're supposed to keep your Christianity private, because that's, after all, that's a personal matter. Personal matter. You know, what we have seen is a distorted view of God, and it's caused Christianity as a whole to withdraw or to pull back, if you will, from society in general. Because, you know, we know enough, we don't want to mix with some of these things, but what has happened is that we are now allowing society to influence the way of our thinking and the culture of our land. Now, what we got to come back here and begin to realize that when we withdraw from the world system, because we're in the world, but what? We're not of it. But when we withdraw from areas of our society, then the world system, which is already in place, just kicks in even stronger. And so, because of the defective view of Christianity, by and large, for the most part, because most Christians have withdrawn from their influence in these areas. I'm talking about like the areas of science and the areas of even government and politics and business world and so on and so forth. We could just go down and listen. Because we have withdrawn our influence and our perspective of showing and telling them what the kingdom of God is all about and what God is all about, their view of God has been distorted. They're still, for the most part, under the impression that, you know, if you have a relationship with Jesus, oh, that's great, that's private, that's what you believe. Oh, bless you, you little dear one. But you see, God has not called us to keep our relationship private. God has not called for society or the world to influence us, but we are to influence the world. We're supposed to influence every aspect of this system. But what you have found and what you see is because of the withdrawal of our distinctive mandate from God and what God has called us to do as kingdom people. He didn't just call, you know, some preachers to do it. He didn't just call the fivefold ministry to do it. He called every believer to be kingdom minded. He said, you pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we just kind of gently withdraw ourselves, and what do we have? We have, and we're beginning to wake up because we're realizing, I mean, you can't even sit down with your family and watch a decent program on TV without some kind of influence that is so bad, so vulgar, so negative that, you know, you're not comfortable even you watching it, much less letting your kids watch it. Now, some of you, you know, you don't watch what your kids are watching, but I'm telling you, they're watching it. And when they're watching it, they're learning the culture, they're learning the ways, they're learning how to dress, they're learning how to act, the way of the system which is operated by the devil. And any system that is operated by the devil, now we call it the world system, but it has its roots in the devil, and it's demonic because everything that the world system has is corrupted in one way or the other. I'm glad y'all are listening to this. So God has given us a mandate to subdue the earth, and we've gotten away from this. If you go back and read in the first chapter of Genesis, it told us that we were created, what? In the image of God. And that we were to subdue the earth and to take authority or dominion in it. What does that mean? It means that we are to proclaim the rule of God. We are to proclaim that the world has a king, but it has its dominion and its roots in the Word and in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan has been ruling this earth system, or this system we call the world, for a long time. And so he's had a lot of years to contaminate and to defect, and especially those that are casual and lukewarm Christians. Those that, you know, will not get in the Word, they will not pray, they will not study. And, you know, when you become radical in your faith, and not just a private person, you become a threat to Satan's kingdom. Amen. Now what we see, now listen to me, follow me, I'm getting somewhere this morning. What we see is that when Jesus came to the earth, he came to fulfill the very mandate that God set up back in Genesis chapter 1. He came to display the kingdom of God. He came to take what? Dominion and subdue the earth. You find Jesus doing exactly what God gave us a mandate to do in the first place. And he became a threat to the kingdom of Satan, because Satan had established this world system something like 4,000 years when Jesus came on the scene 2,000 years ago. So there's been a lot of deflection, and if you will, contamination and blindness of people's hearts and minds because of the very nature and the very culture that puts people in bondages. When Jesus came, what did he find? He found that his own nation of people that God had sent into the promised land were under bondage. They were under a dictator. They were being ruled and reigned by a kingdom that was not the kingdom of God. Are you here? And you see how that there would be raised up, you know, those that would be in high authority and rulers, but there would just be a few people that enjoyed the benefits of any kind of good life, and the rest of the people were oppressed and in bondage. That's why Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. He came to subdue the earth. And then in Matthew's gospel, chapter 24, you don't have to tell me, but let me just tell you what Jesus declared here before I get going. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witnesses to all the nations. And he said, and then the end will come. So we have a New Testament mandate that we are to take this gospel, not just preachers, not just a select few, but every believer is supposed to demonstrate, come on, the kingdom of God with signs and wonders, not only with word, but in power. Because he has empowered believers by giving us the Holy Spirit. Why? To equip us, or to give what we need to take the dominion and subdue in this earth, so that we push back the darkness of the kingdom, or the prince of darkness, so that the kingdom of light can be clearly seen. God has called us to show the goodness of God in the earth. Because, as we stated last week, it is the goodness of God that brings men unto repentance. Are you listening to me? See, people have a warped view of God, that God is going to get them. God's going to get you. God's going to take your children. God's going to kill you. We sit back and let the devil paint a picture of what Christianity is really like, when the kingdom people are to be out there, the ones displaying and proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within. Jesus is alive on the inside of us, and we are not ashamed, listen, to let our influence and our voice be heard. But we don't realize what we've got to work with. We cow down, we bow down to the pressure, because we don't trust God. I said we don't trust God. So we revert back to being sense rule, being flesh rule. Instead of being kingdom minded, we're influenced by the kingdom of darkness. And a lot of people don't even realize it. I've taught you and I've showed you that, you know, when a person is deceived, they're the hardest people to minister to. Okay. So God expects us to show people what He is really like. We are supposed to be in the world, but not to be drawn or forced by the world. We live above this world system. Amen. All right. Now, let me give you some things. They thought God was a killing God, whipping God, a destroying God. God can show His judgment. Now, we haven't seen His wrath yet, but we see His judgment, okay? And God is not putting us in a place. God has not called us to serve Him so we can live a boring, mundane, run-of-the-mill, just going through life, just trying to do good. Well, bless God, I'm a Christian. I'm living right. Oh, I'm going to serve God. And we look like a sourpuss. You know, we don't have any spring in our step. We don't have a smile on our face. We walk around like, you know, we just been dealt sour grapes all of our life. And oh, it's me and all that. And see, God never meant for it to be that way. God meant for you to be kingdom people, to be kingdom minded, to know that your source is in God, and that God will supply every need, and He will when you do it His way. He don't make these rules. He don't make these things so serving God can be hard. He makes these things because they're principles that will bring about a harvest of victory and prosperity and all the other things that you need in this life. That's why He said, seek first the kingdom of God. He said, and all these things will be added unto you. But we got to choose to walk in His way. Well, Jesus came, and I'm just trying to show you these things here, that He came to display that in His ministry. He got involved. He was actively witnessing to every person that would listen to Him. God never intended for this thing to force us into it. We need to be drawn into it. See, some people look like they're being forced to come to church. Some people look like they're being forced to, you know, have to lift their hands or praise God. Like, man, I got something better to do with my time. Well, if you do, go do it. God never meant for anybody to struggle to be a Christian. I know some of you are looking at me funny, but, you know, you got to get the reality of the kingdom, because Jesus, listen, He ministered to the business community, didn't He? I mean, most of the apostles He called were in business. Peter was a fisherman. Are you with me? And so He ministered to the politicians. Matthew was a tax collector. He could relate to all levels in all areas of society, but He didn't compromise. Are you with me? And you know, He would say things. He'd say, like, the kingdom of God is as if a man would sow his seed night and day, day and night. Doesn't know how it, you know, necessarily works, but he gets up and he has faith. And so Jesus would keep proclaiming and sharing what the kingdom of God was. No wonder that He continued on that same theme after His resurrection. Are you with me? He was trying to display to them that when you put God first, there is no lack in your life. When the people were hungry, He fed 5,000 people. I mean, well, He fed 5,000 men, not including the children and the women, with two fishes. Come on, somebody. When He needed money to pay His taxes, listen, He could show that the supernatural power of God could come upon anyone that believed. He just said, go do it, Peter. But how many know Peter had to believe Him to go do it? Are you listening to me? And so all these things showing that God was a God of abundance. God was not a God of shortage. God was not a God of lack. But that God was the same God that revealed Himself to Abraham. And He revealed Himself to Abraham is El Shaddai. The same God that revealed Himself to Abraham is the same God that will reveal Himself to you and me. The same God that supplied Abraham and said, I will bless you and I will multiply your seed. The same promise is for you and I. Are you listening to me? Don't let yourself get so far down under that you can't see the light of this gospel. You can't see the goodness of God. God is showing you that you serve El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Jesus was preaching the kingdom to call the people out of the world, out of the world system. He said, if you stay in the world system, you're going to be corrupted and you're going to die. But if you'll change and come into the kingdom of God, you will find life and life more abundantly. You will have eternal life where there is no lack, where there is no shortage. But you see, He wasn't talking about when you breathe your last breath and you go to be with God in the heaven where He lives. He's talking about the realm of the unseen, the realm that you and I live in. Now, let's look at some scripture here, okay, right quick. Are y'all following what I said? I had to say some of that just to get you up to what we're talking about. Now go to Luke chapter 9. Are you following me? Okay, don't check out. Now, this is good. This is good. You need this. You did come to church to learn something, did you? Okay. God wants us in the world, but what? We're not of the world. The kingdom of God enables you to live above the world system. Did you hear what I just said? The kingdom of God enables you to answer any problem of the world, or whatever problem the world brings, the answer is in the kingdom of God. Did you get that? Okay, now let me show you some things here. Let me show you another truth. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone, what does anyone mean? Okay. If anyone desires to come after me, what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily and what? All right, now here's the truth, okay? Let me give you this truth right here out of this verse. The truth is this. There is a power available to you that can only be obtained by denying yourself. There is a power that comes on you to prevail anything. But it does not come to those that have still attached to the world. So here's the kingdom of God principle. It's for living, and it is, let me just give you these things. It comes from God to live in you, to live through you, and to get for you what He has already ordained for you from the beginning of the world, before you were ever born in the earth. Now we're talking about the conclusion, the kingdom of God, what it is, and where has it come? Where is the kingdom of God? Somebody tell me. It's on the inside. So the kingdom of God, now listen to this, is to be ruled by the word of God. Where? In our hearts. And not forced upon us by an external force or system. I need to say it again because these are things that you need to get. The kingdom of God is to be ruled by the word of God in our hearts and instead of enforced by an external system or an external force. In other words, everything in the system of the world gets its roots or origin from a demonic source. Amen. Jesus said, that's why he said, don't lay up for yourselves treasure where moth and rust and thieves do corrupt. Can y'all understand what I'm saying? Some of you look like you're asleep. You need to wake up. You need to focus in on what the word of the Lord is saying to you. Because these are powerful things. I'm going to give you some real, real truth. The world system is crumbling. The world system and everything that gets its origin or roots, whether it be a form of religion or just what we call the world system, it is demonic. It will fade. It will pass away. It will crumble. That's why you and I have to grow up. Come on. Now let me show you these things in the Word, okay? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. When you get there, tell me so I can take off. I'm giving the interpreter time to get there too. James chapter 1. Let's read verses 13 and 17. Now let me ask you again. You do come to church to learn something, don't you? Even on a Sunday morning. I know a lot of you in traditional churches think, well, you just come to hear a little sermon. But we're not here to teach little sermons. We're here to grasp a hold of the principles of the kingdom so we can be kingdom-minded, kingdom people. We can rule and reign in this life as kings. Come on, somebody. All right? Now look at this. It says, let no one say, verse 13, James chapter 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Tempted in the Greek means tested or trial. Look at verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, and he goes on to say, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. Now, go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. He tells us in, you know, I don't have time to read all this, but I'll read a few for you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual," who's a spiritual person? Somebody's led by the Spirit and not by the realm of the flesh. He said, "Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Because again, it is the goodness of God that causes men to repent, right? Okay. Now, going down, you know these verses. Come down to verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now look at this closely, because I know you know this scripture, but look at it and let the Spirit of God show you some things here, because we're talking about the principle again of sowing and reaping. God's not trying to make this thing tough on you. He's trying to protect you from yourself being drawn in or drawn back into the world or the world system. Look what it says. Because, look at verse 8, "For those who sow to the flesh," well, what? "Of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit will reap everlasting life." So, if we're sowing to the flesh, everything that the world system is already corrupting, it's already decaying, it's already fading away. So, are we going to sow to that? Are we going to sow to the Spirit? Because there's going to be a reaping, listen to me, one way or the other. That's a principle. You do not change the principles of God. You either apply them to your life and you live by them, or you ignore them. But listen, even if you ignore them, listen. Ignorance is no excuse, right? Okay, well, Galatians chapter 5, let me just read this again to you, because these are things that we know sometime, but they don't really communicate to us that if we sow to the flesh, of that flesh, because we're sowing to it, is going to reap a corrupted life. He tells us right here, he says, the work, now look at this, verse 19, let me just read a few of these. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are," this is how they manifest in what? "In adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness," or lavaciousness, which means uncontrolled flesh. People who have their flesh uncontrolled. Okay? "Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like," he said, "of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." He's told us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, the things that are of the kingdom. Now, now here's where some people get a little bit messed up in their thinking. They don't understand the difference between the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Now you can be sure that the wrath of God has not come yet. But the judgment of God is just a product, if you will, a product of the harvest that is reaped by sowing to the flesh. Y'all still don't get this. Judgment is the product, or I could say it, the factor of the harvest that comes upon people in the earth who have chose to sow to the flesh. It is the reaping of that harvest. We wonder why a lot of people die. Hey, call it whatever you want to call it. The wages of sin is still death. Amen. We see bridges falling in, people dying. We see violent storms. People die. You know, you can call it anything you want to. Natural disasters. Holes caving in. Things happening and so on and so forth. But listen to me. It is part of the judgment that is coming on the world system and those that live in it or by it. Now it's getting a little quiet in it. But listen to these things, okay? Now, out of all that, now listen to this closely. Out of all that, people who live the kingdom lifestyle will be hidden and protected from the judgment of the world system. Now that's a truth that you've got to establish in your thinking. That if I live the lifestyle of the kingdom, I will be hidden and I will be protected from the judgment that is coming upon the earth that has been sown to corruption and destruction. Now let me show you that, okay? Back to Psalms 91. I'm here to provoke your thinking. I'm here to, and I really hadn't got to the part about the angels yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Now, see, listen to me. If I can get you to turn loose or to let go of your faith in the world and exchange it for faith in God, that's really what I'm trying to do, to get you to see that as long as you're holding on or hooked into that system, you're in a system that is corrupting. You're in a system that's designed by the principles of God to reap judgment. That's why the whole world lieth to wait for what? The manifestations of the sons of God. You're supposed to be displaying the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom so that it provokes the world by jealousy to see what you got, and they say to you, "Hey, I want what you got." But if you're acting and displaying and everything is status quo the same, well, they're not going to turn loose of that influence. And I got news for you. You're not going to turn loose of it either. So there has to be, you know, a place where we let go of that faith of the world and the world system and grab hold of the faith of God. Well, Psalms 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the" what? Almighty is what? El Shaddai, or the God of abundance. Look down at verse 4. Man, I wish I had time to read all this. "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that lies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." He said in verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see," or look, "and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place," what? "No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come nigh your dwelling." Why? Because he shall give his angels charge over you. Come on, somebody. The world is going to see your success. The world is going to see your prosperity. The world is going to see your promotion. The world is going to see your protection. And they're going to want what you got. And when they come to you, you're going to be a witness in this earth of the kingdom of God. This whole earth, it says, is under a curse. But the kingdom of this gospel shall be preached to the whole world. And then the end shall come. So God's plan is for kingdom people, the believer, listen, the believer to live above the world and live above this reaping of the judgment. See, we're in it, but we're not of it. Are you with me? Romans 8:29, don't turn there, but it says He's also predestined us to be conformed into the image of His Son. So what I'm saying to you, it means that we must grow up spiritually, and it means you're not moved by what you see, but you're moved by what you say. The gospel is extreme. The gospel is radical, but it's a life-changing experience. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Now let's look at this thing about angels and angels given charge. I had to get all that again. It's going to take me another week. Oh, man. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Come on, somebody. Help me out a little bit. Get excited. I know you're having a little struggle here. But get excited about this. Get your antennas back up. Get your receptors. Get your radio tuned in. Hebrews chapter 1. Remember, you're a what? You're an heir of the Father. You're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Listen, folks. This is why it takes good leadership. This is why it takes a visionary. This is why it takes somebody leading you in the right direction. This is why you have to, if you're flying an airplane, a small one, for example, and you get into some clouds, hey, you can't see. You can't see nothing but white puffs all around you. And you're going to have to depend on your instruments to get you through that. And you better listen and you better look and see what those instruments are saying. Because if they're telling you to maintain and hold, and you don't maintain and hold, you're going to go down in the storm. Are you listening to me? So we've got to, because there's a way. Now listen, Proverbs 14 says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof ends up in destruction. So we have to know who's leading us and who the leading that we're following. You don't want to just follow the lead of any old body. You want to follow someone that's hearing from God, that you can confirm in the Word of God what God is saying. Because there are days coming ahead of us. There's going to be some rough times. There's going to be some high stress days that are coming upon this world. There's things going to happen, and they're going to get faster and faster and faster. But they can't get faster than God. They can't get faster than people that are rooted and grounded in the Word, that declare, I shall not be moved. Didn't mean to preach, but I did. Hebrews chapter 1, quickly. He said, but look at verse 13 and 14 again. Did y'all catch that? Don't be moved by what you say. Don't be moved by what you see, but what you say. Did everybody hear that? Okay. Keep that point in mind. But which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 14. Are they not all, now look at this, are they not all ministering spirits, talking about the angels, sent forth to minister for those who are what? Now here's another problem I see in the church. This is what God has shown me. People do not use their angels. Some people have no concept that they have been given by God ministering spirits, amen, angels, amen, that hearken to your word, the word that you use of God. Amen. They're there. You can't see them. But then again, we're people now that are learning to go by what we say, not by what we see. Because as long as we're childish, we go by what we can see. As long as we're childish, we go by what we feel. As long as we're childish, we go by what it looks like. But we're not moved by what it looks like. We're moved by what we say. Well, verse 2 says, now, I could give you a lot of reasons why people don't use their angels, but none of them are valid. Some of them are just ignorant. Some people in the church just soon remain ignorant. Well, if you want to remain ignorant, just stay ignorant. But if you come, you're going to have an opportunity to get unignorant. Therefore. Now, when you see therefore in the Bible, what does it mean? Huh? It means to look and see what it's there for, right? Okay. Therefore, we must give what? The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we what? We drift away. We talked weeks and weeks just on that verse right there. Lest we let things slip from us. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? How shall we escape? Escape what? See, we read the Bible, but we don't. Duh. How shall we escape so great a salvation? Escape what? Escape from what? The judgment that is coming in this earth. The harvest that will be reaped through the sowing of the flesh or the sowing to the world system. Are you with me, church? Well, we got to come back and understand that when we talk about escaping. Now, there's a lot of people that live their life. Listen to me. They live their whole life, maybe as Christians. I'm talking about when they get saved till the time they die. But they live far below their privileges. They live far below their rights as Christians. Are you with me? Some die prematurely. Some die before they're supposed to. Maybe they've been dealt certain things in life, whatever. I mean, we're not here to get into all that. I'm just saying that, you know, how shall we escape? How shall we escape sickness? How shall we escape disease? How shall we escape poverty? How shall we escape lack? How shall we escape all these things that are coming on the earth? How will we escape if we neglect this great salvation? Well, the answer is we won't. We can't. But in the kingdom of God, we rise above the system of the world. Now, how many of you want to rise above that? Well, the angels. Now, listen to me. I got to stop. I thought the clock had time on it, but it's actually counting up. But listen to me. Man. Listen, the angels are ministering spirits. Are you with me? You can't see them. You can't. You can't just look in the room and say, there's an angel, there's an angel, there's an angel, there's an angel. But there's multitudes all in this place. I believe there's one right now following me around, whispering in my ear, telling me what to say about half the time. I really do. I think that's real. I think that's valid because angels come to minister to you. Amen. Angels come, now listen, to give you protection, to provide for you provision. Amen. Angels come to promote. Amen. Angels come to preserve. Did you get all the P's? They're all around, and they've come from that purpose, and they come to hearken to your word. Now, I'll show you a little bit more of this, but we're out of time, but listen to me. The angel of the Lord hearkens to what you say. So you better watch what you say. You better watch what you say. You better watch what you say because your angels are standing around waiting upon the words that you speak. But they're not going to operate if you're in sin. Amen. They're not going to operate if you're in ignorance or disobedience are rebellion. They hearken to righteousness. They hearken to truth. And I'll have to show you that through the Word, because I'm saying a lot of things to you, but I got to show you in the Word, but we don't have time. But I'm just trying to tell you that the angel will protect you.
Amen.
You read about angels all the way through the Bible, my young brother, all the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelation. The messengers of God come to minister to those who are heirs of salvation.
Amen.
They came when Peter was in jail, remember, somewhere around Acts chapter 5. And they actually, listen, they threw Peter in jail, but the angel went in there and got Peter out of the jail and locked the jail door back.
Amen.
And the people come and said, how did he get out of here? And the door was locked shut tight. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same angel that shut the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's the same angel that spoke to Moses. I mean, angels here, angels there, angels everywhere. Waiting for you to use them. And that's why the devil don't want me to preach this message. But the angels are just sitting around waiting for something to do.
Amen.
We got to use them.
Amen.
We got to use them. But in order to use them, we got to grow up.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Halabosokataba. Close your Bibles. I'll have to stop. I got more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have to be careful. Can I just tell you a couple things? We got to be careful that we don't shrink our vision.
Amen.
Listen to me. We got to make sure we don't shrink our vision. When I saw the church that God wanted us to build and $2-3 million, I choke. But as long as you're trying to reason with your head, you are suffocating your spirit. Your faith is not designed or intended to work from your head, but from your heart. As long as you're trying to reason and figure it out from your head, you are quenching your faith. I hope you heard that. God has designed you and I, equipped us to overcome anything that this inferior world system brings to us.
Amen.
Y'all didn't hear that.
Amen.
You are equipped by God. Oh, yeah, we got the Word of God, Pastor. We got the blood of Jesus. We got the name of Jesus. But how about this part about the angels? They're just more powerful than a speeding bullet, able to jump tall buildings with one leap. Kalaba, sokataba, that can loose the things that have you bound. Free you so you can be promoted in this life. I think we ought to. Come on, just stand with me. Just lift your hands. And